This is the Reds Hot Stove League.
The Reds on the radio.
The Reds Hot Stove League is brought to you by Holy Grail Banks, proud sponsors of the Reds Hot Stove League, Beacon Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, JTM, let's create great dishes together, MSA Architects, and by Document Destruction, the official document shredding vendor of the Reds. The Reds Hot Stove League is also brought to you by CBTS, a Cincinnati Bell company, technology solutions for business, your tri-state Chevy dealers. Check out Chevy's award-winning lineup, only at your tri-state Chevy dealer. The Healthcare Management Group, greater care for greater Cincinnati. Woody's Sander Ford, I-75 at Mitchell Avenue, right in the middle of everywhere.
And this one belongs to the Reds.
Now the Reds Hot Stove League on News Radio 700 WLW, the home of the Reds.
The Reds on the radio.
And I had a pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome once again to the Reds Hot Stove League. It is Tuesday, the 17th of January, and I'm telling you what, this place at the Holy Grail at the Banks is a buzz tonight. Thomas Brenneman, because why? We have one of the Reds players with us, and when you get a player in here, a good guest, people flock into this place.
You know, you said it's a Tuesday night. I look around this place, and I wondered, have I lost track of time? This looks like a Friday night right here tonight. I mean, there are people everywhere. It's great to have all you with us and all you listening along the Reds radio network, and a player that you just mentioned who's kind enough to join us tonight. And countdown is on. Well, we're less than a month away, Devin Mesoraco. A pleasure to have you with us here tonight. Big round of applause for the Reds all-star catcher, Devin Mesoraco. How are you?
Good. How are you guys
Happy
doing?
New Year.
Happy New Year.
You've been here a lot.
Yeah, I've been here rehabbing, trying to get in shape, get ready for the season. But we love Cincinnati, so this is our second home, I guess you can say.
Here you are sitting up here, and we mentioned it earlier, a short-sleeve T-shirt in the middle of January. You don't see that very much around these parts, but it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll take this any off-season. This has been nice. I've been able to go outside and throw. Usually it's freezing cold out there and you're bundled up, but, you know, this year has been pretty nice.
This is not the first year that you have been around this winter, worked out over at the ballpark throughout the offseason, and you see more and more guys, it seems like, are doing that around here. Why is that?
Yeah, we had a good crew down there. Billy's been down there for a while. Joey's been in and out of town. Brandon's always in and out. I think that guys enjoy Cincinnati. You know, it's a great place. Guys buy a house or find a place to stay year-round just because they enjoy it so much. And, you know, we can get good work done down there. Hatcher comes down. Billy Hatcher's always down there. Steph comes down for me, Mike Stefanski, to do the catching stuff. Really, you can get a lot of work done being here in Cincinnati. For me, it's more than I can get done at home just because we have obviously great facilities down at the field. And then working with Hatch and Steph, you know, that really helps out.
A year ago, I remember you sitting here, Devin, and everybody was talking about you coming back from the original hip surgery. Since that time, you've had surgery to the other hip along with the shoulder. So I remember you saying, I'm tired of everybody asking me how I'm doing. So here we sit a year later. You're probably sick of the same question, but we have to ask it because a lot of Reds fans really want to know how you're coming along. Where do you feel like you are at this point in time? We still do have almost a month and a half before a game start.
Yeah, I'm getting there. You know, it's a long process, and the hardest part is getting back into the baseball stuff, mm-hmm. and that's where we're at now. At the beginning of that, I'm hitting, throwing, catching, doing all kinds of drills. So, you know, we're getting there. I don't know that I could play if there was a game tomorrow, but I think that we're on the right track. And, you know, knock on wood, things are going to go well and nothing else happens and I can actually be out on the field, which, you know, it's been a long haul, that's for sure.
Do you have goals about how much you would like to play or catch in spring training? Like you said, you may not be able to do it today, but having been through it one time already, now the shoulder's in addition to the other hip. But do you have a goal of how much you would like to play in spring training? Is that a reasonable expectation or question?
I would say that I want to play a lot. I haven't in the past. Maybe 50 at-bats. I feel like this year I need to go out there and play. I haven't played, you know, I haven't gotten a ton of bats the last 2 years. I haven't caught a ton the last 2 years. So, you know, if I would put a number on it, now obviously the medical staff is going to have kind of their plan for me going into spring training and kind of what they want me to do. But, you know, I'd like to get 75, 80 at bats, honestly, in spring training. And I'm not sure you wouldn't be able to do all that in the main games, but you can go down into the minor leagues and play and get some extra at bats. I feel like, you know, I want to play as much as the medical staff will allow.
You have been in rehab for the better part, really, of 2 years. The question I want to ask you, Devin, is because you went through the rehab with your left hip, did that give you an advantage rehabbing the right hip? You kind of knew what was going to go on. You knew what to expect. You knew where you should be at a certain time frame.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. You know, I felt like I was going into the surgery just based on, you know, last year we did rehab. You can't just do one leg, you know. You kind of have to do drills on both sides. So my hip was stronger going into surgery. I wasn't having the same problems that I was having with my left side. So I was in a much better place. And then, like you said, the fact that I already knew what to expect, you know, the milestones to kind of hit there with, you know, you do this at this week. It was fairly straightforward. And, you know, I would say that this side has went, you know, very, very smooth.
We have a microphone here. If you're in the house here at the Holy Grail at the Banks and you have a question for Reds catcher Devin Mesoraco, certainly come on up and ask that. That being said, as Tom said, we are less than a month away from pitchers and catchers reporting and 6 weeks or so away from the start of spring training games. When will you pick up camp here and head on out to Goodyear?
Yeah, we report the 12th, so I'll head down there. So, you know, I can get more work done here in Cincinnati. Me and Billy and Joey will be here, and Mike Stefanski, our catching coach, will come down to the stadium and work with me. Billy Hatcher will come down. We'll hit with him. So, you know, I can really get more work done here than if I were to go out to Arizona early.
I'm curious, Devin, last year when you came back in spring training, after having a lot of the prior season off, for you, and you can't speak for everybody, I understand that, was getting behind the plate and catching again and all the things that are entailed in actually catching a baseball game, was that harder, or was the timing as an offensive player harder?
Honestly, I would say everything was hard at that point. You know, I wasn't feeling good whenever I came back. Even though you can be out there and you can play, you know, it's still kind of a shaking off some rust and getting your feet underneath you. But I would say both were hard, if that makes sense. You know, that's, I guess, an honest answer. But I think that, you know, you have to be patient. That's the...
Got to be hard, though.
It's very hard because I want to be out there. I want to be back to where I was in 14, you know, whenever I was able to go out there and play the way that I think everybody, you know, expected me to play and thought that I could. So it requires some patience and just try to continue to go out there and improve and get better and try to get everything back to where it was. And it doesn't happen overnight, but, you know, I'm confident that at some point I'm going to get back there.
Speaking of confidence, does it shake your confidence that you haven't played in 2 years and every time you've tried to play, something else has happened? Are you still as confident now as you were 2 years ago when you had that All-Star year?
I don't think it shakes my confidence. It does some other stuff to you, for sure. But, no, confidence-wise, I feel like if I can be healthy and I can be able to go out there and play, you know, as much as I am capable of, I feel like, you know, I'll pick up where I left off. But, you know, the key is just getting back there and feeling good and being healthy.
I know we're getting ready to come up on a break, so I don't want to ask you too much about this team. But in a nutshell, you faced Drew Storen as an offensive player. Now, a couple of years have gone by since you've seen him. But what was your initial reaction after you saw the Reds have picked him up?
Yeah, that was good. You know, obviously the struggles of our bullpen last year are kind of they're out there. Everybody knows. And, you know, to pick a guy that's pitched in the back end of the game, and, you know, obviously – with him and Lorenzen and Iglesias, I feel like, you know, we have a confident group. And that doesn't include Cingrani and Wood, who are, you know, they threw the ball well at times last year. So I think that, you know, once Iglesias and Lorenzen got back there, I think things were pretty solid in the bullpen. And, you know, just to add Storm to that, I think will help for sure.
We were talking about that just before you came on, and we're going to take a commercial break. But you're 100% right. I think last year in the first 2 months of the season, due to injury especially, and Iglesias wasn't even in the bullpen, and Lorenzen was hurt. You know, when you ask Blake Wood to probably pitch in situations that he's most comfortable in, he did an excellent job. And Cingrani, you know, we've seen him be really, really good, and we've seen him be inconsistent. But again, in the right role, if those two guys can pretty much do what they did by and large last year and now have those other three in the back end of the bullpen, I would think there's a legitimate chance that there's a huge upgrade there in and of itself before you talk about anybody else down there.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that we're very confident when Lorenzen and Iglesias come into the game. And like you said, there's times when Woody's out there throwing the ball and it looks just unhittable. So, you know, if those guys can be a little more consistent and we have those three other guys, that's a pretty darn good start.
All right, we're into it here at the Holy Grail Banks, talking Reds baseball with Reds catcher Devin Mesoraco on this Tuesday night. We'll take a break, come back with more. You're listening to the Reds Hot Stove League from the Holy Grail Banks and presented by Budweiser. All right, back at the Holy Grail at the Banks here on the Reds Hot Stove League on this Tuesday night. Just a reminder, you can be part of the action this season with the Reds Pick 6 plan presented by McDonald's. Take any six Reds home games, including the Cubs, Indians, Yankees, and Red Sox, and receive an exclusive Eric Davis 30-30 dual bobblehead. The Reds are celebrating that this year. 30 years ago, the first Red to have a 30-30 season. Plus, you'll save up to 25% off regular price tickets and get six free McDonald's extra value meals. Purchase the Pick 6 plan now at reds.com/pick6. Some restrictions do apply.
Jimmy, do you remember, were you in Louisville, and I'm pretty sure you were, maybe I'm wrong, were you in Louisville when Eric Davis came through, or was he playing AAA at the time in Denver?
No, he would have been in Denver before.
That's what I thought. I'm going to tell you what. For a lot of people that don't remember when that guy first came to the big leagues, I have never seen anybody like that guy in my life. And when he had major injuries, I remember doing a game at Wrigley Field when he went sprinting into the gap. And, man, when that guy ran, he ran. They talk about Billy Hamilton. Eric Davis could fly. He must have lost track of where the warning track was. And as we know, behind that beautiful green ivy is a brick wall.
Yeah, no padding.
And he ran into the wall full speed, broke his shoulder in half. But to watch what he did, people forget the one season he hit over 30 home runs. He stole almost 90 bases that year.
I
remember it was 80. Yeah. I mean, that guy, he was some kind of player. Whew.
Devin Mesoraco with us, and we have questions. Questions have come in. Let's go to the phones. Bill from Madison, Indiana, you're first up on the Reds Hot Stove League.
Devin.
He's here.
Yeah, I'm here.
You think he'd probably be 100% this year again?
I hope so, yeah. I should be good. Everything is on track where I should be ready to go spring training and be back out on the field.
Is this Bill Bennett?
Yeah.
Bill, how you doing?
Okay, Tom.
Everything in Madison, Indiana okay?
Yeah.
All right. It's always good hearing from you.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you think Kozak probably be 100% too if they stay healthy?
Zach Cozart, is that who you asked about?
Yeah.
I sure hope he's healthy. I mean, we saw a couple of years ago when he's healthy, he's a mighty good player.
Yeah, I know.
So we'll keep our fingers crossed. I'm sure he is, too. We're keeping our fingers crossed on all these guys because this has a chance to be a pretty good team if we can just keep guys on the field.
Yeah.
Bill, thanks for the call, buddy. All right, let's go to Woody in Mount Oreb, way out east. We go from the west side in Madison to Mount Oreb. Woody, are you there?
I'm here. How are you, sir?
Good. Nice to hear from you, Woody. What's up?
Devin, let me just ask you a question. I'm not trying to be negative. You might not even know the answer. You're 100% opening day. Is the catching job yours, or do you feel you have to battle out now to get your job back?
Well, you know, whenever you have a catcher, especially me, who hadn't been able to play a lot the last couple of years, they're going to take it easy. So, you really need two good guys. And Tucker showed last year that he's definitely capable to be back there, you know, as much as you need him. With that being said, I feel like if I'm healthy and playing the way that I'm capable of, like I showed in 14, you know, that seems like somebody they're going to want in the lineup a whole lot. So, you know, I guess time will tell if I'm healthy, but I think we're going to need two guys either way, and we're in good shape with me and Tucker.
I asked you I'm sorry, Woody, go ahead.
I'd say that we've got a good catching combination no matter which way it goes. I mean, Devin's the number one guy, I would think, but
There's no doubt Devin
is going to get a lot of playing time, so I'd say with the two, we got to find catching combination to look forward to.
Woody, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
You know, there's no doubt about it. Devin Mesoraco is the number one catcher. If he's healthy and he's able to play, at 25 home runs, knocked in 80, playing regularly in 2014. And Tucker Barnhart did do a nice job. But, I mean, you know, there are guys and then there are guys. I asked you last year, have you even considered the idea of any other position?
Honestly, I don't feel like that's something for me to consider.
Okay.
You know, that if the organization came to me and said, hey, do you want to do something else? I would certainly be open to listening. But, you know, that was never brought up. That was never discussed. You know, there's a lot of, I'll call them internet doctors that think that, not that you are one, Tom. Not
I am one because I know where you're going.
That think that, you know, I can't come back from the hip surgery.
No, I never said that.
Right.
No, I never said that.
Or think that it's going to be easier on me to move to a different position. But there's been catchers that have had this surgery and came back fine. There's been hockey goalies that are, you know, in a far more difficult position than what catchers. So there's no reason whatsoever that I can't be back behind the plate.
What I have said, and you know this, what I've said if you had a young player in your system who could do the things offensively you can do, that you can put in a cleanup spot in the middle of the lineup and count on, when healthy, 25, 35 home runs, 80, 110 runs batted in. I've just always said, and I look at Buster Posey, right? I've just always said, why not at least occasionally get the guy out from behind the plate, learn another position that he's comfortable in, so at least maybe 2 or 3 days a week instead of that catcher having to sit down, you still got that bat in the lineup.
Yeah, no, I completely understand. And I think that, you know, if the organization approached me on that, I would be 100% open to hearing them out and trying to come up with a good plan. But, you know, I think they wanted to see what, you know, obviously Adam Duvall had a great year last year, and he's kind of locked in out there. But, you know, the reason that we did try the outfield there for a couple weeks whenever I was already hurt was, you know, Marlon Byrd went down. So
sure,
if an injury arises, it would be nice to have somebody else. But, you know, we haven't talked about that yet. And I think at this point in time, you know, with just trying to get back into catching shape and doing all that, you know, it may be a little too much to take on. But, you know, I would certainly be open to whatever the team wants.
I tell you, just watching you, and I was watching you out there with Billy Hatcher for a couple of times. I thought you moved really good out there. All right, we're taking a break. Devin Mesoraco, can you stick around one more second with us tonight? Devin Mesoraco, all-star catcher from the Reds with Jim Kelch, Tom Brenneman, and, man, what a crowd. Back with the Reds Hot Stove League in a moment.
Reds Hot Stove League rolls on from the Holy Grail at the Banks, and we are certainly appreciative of Devin Mesoraco, Reds catcher, hanging around for another segment. We want to remind you, don't miss free seminars on basic strength and conditioning development for coaches, parents, and players 13 and older. Coming up on Saturday, January the 28th at the Reds Youth Academy, exercises and programs specific for baseball and softball will be available. You can call 513-765-5000 or additional information to RSVP. More calls for Devin Mesoraco, Reds catcher, so let's go right back to the phones. Devin, we have Dave from Harrison. You're up next. Hi, Dave.
Gentlemen, it's a privilege and an honor.
Thank you, David.
I have a question for Dev.
Go right ahead.
Dev, God forbid George Foster would not be able to fulfill his keynote speaker deal at Bacon's Roast Thursday, would you be willing to, and could you, fill in for him?
Well, I hope George is there, but, you know, I'm in town. You've kind of put me on the spot here. I'm not sure what I have going on Thursday. But
is there a problem with George?
No. My next question was, would Devin take as much time to get behind the podium as George took to get in the box?
I don't think Devin's going to take a lot of time. He's just getting in somewhere, getting after it, and he's on his way. So, Dave, I would suggest you just call the Reds' offices and see what can happen. And obviously everybody's hoping George Foster will be there, one of the great guys ever to put on a Reds uniform.
I'm sure he will.
All right, David, thanks for the call. Let's go up to Dayton, Ohio, and you will be there on the Reds caravan, by the way,
this week, right? Yep.
All right, Dick, how are you, Dick? Welcome to the Reds Hot Stove League.
Hey, how you doing, how you doing, Tom? How you doing, Jim?
Doing good, doing Dick. Well. Nice to hear from you, man. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I got a question. Desmond, are you all ready for the season, buddy?
I'm getting there. Yeah, I'm working hard.
Well, you know, I'll be. You know, it's kind of neat. I work, but I get to watch. Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Jim, and I get to watch all you guys in Fox Sports. I really enjoy it. You know.
So you're excited for the season getting started, right, Dick?
Oh, I am excited for the team. You know, I work in out there at Lowe's there in Beaver Creek, and we're all talking about how we think they're going to do this year. I love your play-by-play, and Desmond, I think we're going to have a great year, buddy.
I hope so. We need we need to turn it around and win some more ball games. That's for sure.
But nice talking to you guys.
Nice hearing from you, Dick. All the best, pal. We'll look forward to seeing you this summer.
Devin, you guys play day in, day out, season in, season out. And sometimes, admittedly, it gets to be a drag. You get worn down a little bit. But in your situation, I bet you can't wait to get out there and start playing day in, day out again.
Yeah, I mean, this has been, hopefully, I don't wish this on anybody.
Sure.
You know, I had the year that I had, went to the All-Star game, and, you know, had big expectations going into the next year. And, you know, to basically get that whole year taken from you, that was frustrating. And then go into this year and be ready to go and work so hard to get back to where I felt like, you know, I was going to be healthy and ready to go and then have something else happen, you know, that was double frustrating. So, you know, I'm ready to go. I think that I've stayed looking towards the future and just tried to look to that moment and work hard to get back to, the player that I know that I can be and get out there on a day-in, day-out basis.
When you were with the team, especially obviously in home games during the year, and you're sitting there in the dugout watching, and it's not a very good vantage point to watch a baseball game. But, you know, a couple guys in particular I wanted to ask you about your impressions of. I think this time a year ago, a lot of people thought Reds are going to give Brandon Finnegan a chance to be in the rotation, and he'll probably end up settling back into the bullpen somewhere. He ended up being a pretty doggone good starter last year, maybe the most consistent from start to finish when all's said and done. What were your impressions of him, not necessarily on the field, but watching the way he went about his business in the clubhouse? I thought he was a nice leader for this team as a young guy.
Well, I think that the one of, you know, his most important is he's so competitive.
Yep.
You know, he's such a competitive guy. You can tell the fire that he has out there on the mound. He really wants to be, you know, a very good pitcher. And I think that, you know, he can be. He has three good pitches. You know, when he throws his changeup and he kind of gets a good feel for it, it's as good as anybody's, you know, that we have. And his fastball and his slider are both good pitches, mm-hmm. too. So I think that, you know, competitively, he definitely gets that part. And he's ready to, you know, get after some guys from pitch one the whole way until they come and get the ball. So I think that would be the main thing that you really look at Brandon as, you know, that you really like that when he's out on the mound.
Let's go back to the phones. One more call before we take a break and let Devin go. Tom from Anderson, you're up on the Reds Hot Stove League.
Thank you very much, Jim. Hey, Devin, thank you for taking the time to be with us.
No problem.
You did a seminar, whatever, for a Walnut Hills girls softball team a couple of years ago. And actually, I'm probably missing that by 2 or 3 years. And my daughter is now your biggest fan, and she's down at UT.
Oh, awesome. Very cool.
So she's playing baseball at the University – I mean, softball at the University of Tennessee?
No, Tommy.
She's down at college down there.
That's correct.
Oh, good for her. That's a great place to go to school.
Yeah, it's great. And it's 103,000 crazy people in the stadium that I'll never go back again to watch a football game because they don't sit down. Anyhow, T, my point is, Devin, with these injuries, because my nephew that Tom covered when he was a Cub reporter.
Tom, we need to move this along a little bit. We need to take a break, okay?
Okay, so
ask your question.
If you can't go back to what you did, just like my nephew did, and he moved on from Marymount to Marietta, are you able to move on to another position, i.e. left field or whatever, or American League?
You know, I think I'll find a way to get it done. I think, maybe it won't be quite the same, but I'll be
ready.
Thanks,
Tom.
All right, Thomas, thank you very much. We appreciate it. We're going to take a break. And, Devin, we can't thank you enough for being with us tonight.
Problem.
We're
no
all
problem.
Rooting for you, man.
Thank you.
This
thank
is
you
one of the good guys and one of the real good leaders the Reds have had in that clubhouse in a long time. And everybody's rooting to see Devin Mesoraco back behind the plate here in 2017. We're back with more phone calls and your questions here. We thank Devin Mesoraco. Back in a moment.
All right, our thanks to Devin Mesoraco once again for joining us for three segments here on the Reds Hot Stove League on this Tuesday. Isn't it great to have a player up here on this show? I mean, we take calls a lot of times. Sometimes because of the time of the year, you can't get anybody. But when you have a player here, it makes the show so much more interesting.
And, you know, I made the comment before we went to the commercial break, Jim, and I know you agree. You know, for those of us who are fortunate enough to be in this position and have this job and look, a lot of these young kids, a lot of them that are here tonight, I mean, they'd love to be able to have a chance to say hello to Devin Mesoraco, be around him like we have a chance to so many of these players. And, you know, this is a special young guy. I mean, this is a really good guy. You know, he comes from a small town in Pennsylvania. He's busted his tail to get to where he is today. Number one pick, didn't look so good at the beginning. Then all of a sudden caught fire, career takes off, has a monster year in 14. And now has basically missed two full years.
Right.
But because of the kind of the guy he is, the character he is, I think we both agree that 2 years ago we felt he was going to be the real vocal leader of this team. And it's hard to be that guy when you can't get out and play.
That's true.
And so I think it would not only be great for Devin Mesoraco to come back and play the way he's capable of playing. I think it would be very important for the Reds as a team to have him back in their lineup and a presence as a leader on that team each and every day.
I couldn't agree more. Hey, I want to go to something that you and Phil Castellini were talking about last week. He said everybody's always asking him, what does the front office do in the offseason? There's no games. What are you guys doing? Yesterday, Martin Luther King Day, and I want to give a big tip of the Reds cap for what they did around this city of Cincinnati. It was an off day in terms of work, but a lot of the Reds front office volunteered to help out around the city. They had a presence at the Cincinnati Gospel Mission, the Salvation Army, Matthew 25 Ministries, the Boys and Girls Clubs. Great pictures on Reds.com. And I just want to say thank you to them for going out and helping in the community. It was great stuff.
Amen. And, I mean, it's a special day in this country, special guys celebrating and remember Martin Luther King. And you know, the Reds are... You know, along with you can go right down the line. I mean, we could name all the corporations in this city that call this place home, but the Reds are as much, if not more, a part of the fabric and the history of this town. They want to be involved, and they are involved every single day.
I agree with you. I thought it was a great thing. Hey, you were talking about the Reds bullpen and the situations. The three areas that we've talked about all offseason have been the bullpen,
yep,
the bench, and the catcher situation. We talked a lot about it with Devin. He doesn't seem to think there's going to be any problem. With he and Tucker, one of the top two combos in catching, maybe in the National League, maybe in the big leagues. Still, that bench is a situation that people are taking a look at and thinking, what's going to happen down there?
Well, as you well know, I mean, that's an area where the teams that are spending, you know, $130, $150, $200 million, I mean, they've got guys that used to be regular players and big star regular players that are now guys that their careers have kind of led them to be a big bat off the bench. You know, Andre Ethier, a guy that comes to, I mean, all of a sudden he's not even a starter for you. You know, look what he's done in his career, been a really good player. So, you know, the bench is a tricky situation. I thought the one kid last year, now all of a sudden, you know, Ebarin, all of a sudden. Now, there's a guy to me, the guy all he's done is hit in the minor leagues. I thought when he came up last year, looking at him, I think that's a step up offensively on their bench.
I agree with you.
So, you know, maybe some of these guys that may not be the biggest names in the world, maybe there's some guys that can help you. You know, if you get Mesoraco back, all of a sudden your bench is very different because you got Tucker Barnhart now part of your bench. So everything elevates if you can get some people back healthy again.
Throw another name out. Steve Selsky. I thought he did a really
excellent job
when he came up late in the year, hit a couple of home runs in about 2 weeks worth of play, hit over 300.
Had a five-hit game.
Had a five-hit game in St. Louis, and this is the kind of guy that's not going to play every day here, but he might be a guy that could come off the bench and come up with a big hit for you.
I tell you, you know, you and I have talked about this, and I may look like the biggest fool in the world. Just ask my wife. It certainly wouldn't be the first time. But I don't know. I just have a sneaking suspicion this team is going to be a lot better than people think it is. We know that health is a key. You're not going to win anything if your best players don't play. So you start with that. But I just feel like I think they got a chance to be a lot better than people think.
You feel
the same way. I know you do.
I do.
You and
I've
talked about it.
I mean, one game under 500 in the second half. You had a lot of guys that didn't play a lot because of the situation with injuries that you talked about. They're going to go into spring training healthy, and I think they could surprise some people.
Yeah, and I think the rotation is really going to start to come together. I think we're going to finally see some of these young guys put it together and start doing some things they're expected to do.
I agree. All right, we have one more segment to go here from the Holy Grail Banks. We're talking Reds baseball on the Reds Hot Stove League. Back with more in a moment.
The Reds Hall of Fame and Museum's Pete Rose Hit Collection fundraising campaign features 4,256 baseballs, each signed by Pete Rose, stamped with the official Pete Rose Hit Collection logo, and baseball's unique hit number. So you can purchase a Hit Collection baseball, become the owner of that hit, and help support the Pete Rose Sculpture Project that will be unveiled, of course, this summer. You can buy it today at RedsMuseum.org. We're back from the Holy Grail Banks. You're listening to the Reds Hot Stove League, presented by Budweiser. And, you know, Jimmy, you and I talked about this Pete Rose thing. Of all the things we've talked about in the 10 years I've been lucky to be around, this is the coolest thing they've done.
I don't know who came up with it, but someone deserves major kudos for putting that together.
Yeah.
They're fantastic looking. And the fact that you can pick a date that means something to you and associate that with a hit from Pete's career and have it autographed, unbelievable.
All right, so next week we will be doing the show on Wednesday night.
Correct.
From the Hall of Fame and Museum, right? Next
Correct.
Wednesday night from 6 till 7 o'clock, and that will be the unofficial kickoff of the Reds Caravan. Now, you will be going, if I'm not mistaken, I am extremely jealous. You will be going to the Ohio University in Athens, Ohio, next Thursday night.
The home of the Bobcats.
Not a real good basketball team this year. Really, really good. But you will be there on a Thursday night, perhaps the best night of all nights,
now, that
to be in Athens, Ohio.
That doesn't mean a whole lot to everybody else, but to you,
big night.
Thursday night in Athens means a whole lot.
It does. It does. It's just a very, it's regularly, I think, the best night to kick off the weekend there in Athens, and you guys are going to be there. It's always a great stop. Then you're going on to stops in West Virginia, correct?
Charleston, Huntington, I believe. We have two or three stops on there. We're going to go to the infamous Logan, West Virginia stop way up on the hill where you hope it's not snowing and icy when you get up there.
That's right.
And you know what we'll do more than anything else, Tom? We will eat.
Yes, a lot.
As you know, you eat a lot on that thing.
Who's on your caravan?
We got the cowboy.
Yep.
We got the general manager of the Reds, Dick Williams. Steve Selsky is going to be with us.
Yep.
Eric Davis is going to be on our crew. And the newest Red, Drew Storen, is on our group. I'm thrilled to have him along with us.
That's a good group.
It's going to be very, very
really,
good.
Really good group.
By the way, next Wednesday on the Reds Hot Stove League, as you mentioned over there at the Hall of Fame, the cowboy and I will be the guy.
Really?
The cowboy going to
host. The cowboy is making an appearance north of the Mason-Dixon line.
Before April 1st.
Right. I don't think he's allowed to come here in the winter.
He has to get permission, certainly,
yes,
from the missus.
Yes, he does. Well, that's going to be a lot of fun. So For those of you listening along the Reds Radio Network right now and you're wondering who's coming, where they're going, take a look at Reds.com. And we have four groups going out. It's going to be a great time as always.
So we got Hot Stove next Wednesday and then the kickoff of the Caravan next Thursday. A big week in the offseason for the Red Lakes.
Great being with you, brother.
You too, my friend.
All right. Reds Hot Stove League from the Holy Grail Banks will be with you again. It is Wednesday night, 6 to 7 o'clock at the Reds Hall of Fame and Museum. If you're coming down, come early. Not quite the seating capacity we have here at the Holy Grail Banks. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for coming out.